Hi everyone, this is Kim McLaughlin and I am welcoming you to week two of Emotional Eating Solutions. This is the solutions to help us end emotional eating, focusing on putting food in its proper place as nourishment and finding really appropriate, positive ways to feed our soul and feed it with nurturing rather than food. So that's why we're here today. And this second week is really good because we're getting into the kind of the juicy part about food and food's place in this process that we're going to do. So let's just take a second while we're gathering together and everybody's logging in to just kind of take a deep breath. And breathe it out and get centered into being together for the next 50 minutes. And it's really breathing in calm and breathing out everything that it took to get you here today. So just kind of shake it loose, move your head around a little bit. That's what I kind of like to do. And just breathe in and breathe out and get centered. Okay. Well, last week was pretty interesting. It was a lot of stuff about diet. And I know that might have seemed kind of strange that we were focusing more on diets and things. But I find that it's one of the areas we have to kind of hurdle through about what's your definition of a diet? What do you think what kind of diets have you been on, and how have you restricted? Because as we talked about last week, the more we restrict and limit and feel that restriction, the more we're going to rebound in terms of you know, going to the other side, which would be the overeating. So as we talked about, if you look at it in a circle, the top of the circle is restricting when we're in that restricting mode because we're feeling afraid that we gained weight or think we need to lose weight. And then you go around the circle and then you'll find binge eating happens because of that restricting. And then you go around the circle a little further and you'll find that guilt comes into play. And once we feel guilty, ultimately we'll end up going back to the top of the circle and going towards restriction and holding back what we eat. And so this doesn't mean, and we'll talk about this today, it doesn't mean that we get into a free-for-all. I am not advocating free-for-all overeating and just do whatever you want, because that's what we kind of begin to think of when we think of, I'm not going to restrict. So if I don't restrict, then what do I do? And today we're talking about normal eating, which is something a lot of us, me included, you know, haven't known, or I didn't know before until I worked through this process. So this is what we're going to focus on today. So last week we talked about dieting, and I wanted to know if anything came up for anybody, and you guys can just speak up because you're unmuted, if any thoughts came up, any feelings came up about the ideas of what were your diets that you engaged in the past? What are your thoughts about diets? What are your definitions of diets? Does anybody have any kind of things that kind of popped up for them around this? Go ahead and just
Kim,
speak up. And, yeah.
It's Alicia. I just wanted to say that one of the things that keeps reoccurring in my head is, okay, this isn't a diet, but it's a life change or whatever you want to call it, but I'm just so fearful of eating that way for the rest of my life, you know, eating like a bird for the rest of my life, you know, compared to what I've been eating now. And I know that I don't have to restrict. I know that moderation, I know all the behavior modification stuff, but it's just, that enters my head.
Right. So you're feeling fearful that, that you won't know what to do, and that it'll end up, like you said, eating like a bird, so that there's not going to be much food that you're going to eat, and just really not knowing what this is even going to look like.
Well, to me, it's a matter of I've got to force myself to eat a certain way. I can't eat what I want, which I understand that, but I have been eating what I want. I just haven't been on a diet recently, and now I'm fearful. Okay, now I've got to eat a certain way for the rest of my life if I want to lose weight and maintain it. And that
right.
scares me because it's like, what if I fail?
So what's the certain way you think you're supposed to eat?
Well, I need, you know, can't have Cokes every day. Can't,
yeah.
you know, go and, you know, and just eat as much as you want in one sitting. And like today, I'm going to go meet somebody for a beverage, and I'm thinking I want a cookie. Well, those are, you know, tons of calories. Okay, so now I'm thinking, okay, I already had this for lunch today, so what will I eat this evening, you know, to keep within my calories
right.
or Weight Watcher points, whatever.
Right.
You know, now it's, okay, now the only thing I can have tonight is, like, lettuce and a little bit of ranch.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Right, because the Weight Watcher points are telling you how much to eat.
Right.
Is that kind of where you're going? Yeah,
well,
that can
no.
be difficult. No?
It doesn't have to be the Weight Watcher plan. It's anything. It's any calorie
yeah.
limitation. You know, it's a doctor calorie limitation. You know, whatever that plan is. It,
right.
There's limitations, and you can't eat the way I've been eating for the rest of your life without consequences. And that
right.
scares
and
me that, yeah.
I totally get that fear, and I bet other people on the call really understand that fear. And so what happens is that when I say, you know, we're going to focus on moving off of a diet and off of restriction and into being more comfortable in our body, what comes up, and you're right on, is fear of what is that going to look like, and does that mean I'll never get to have a cookie again, or does that mean I don't get to have a Coke, or does that mean I can't eat the way I'm going to eat, or I used to eat? You probably won't want to eat the way you used to eat, Felicia. That's
okay.
probably what will happen is that that's my experience and other people's experience that have done this with me is that they don't want to, that they find that there's a new and different way when they really check in with their body, and that's actually what we're going to do a lot of today is checking in with our body, that what happens is that when we don't know how to eat or kind of how to regulate and listen to our body, we feel fearful that, you know, so when people say, so Kim, so if I can eat whatever I want, I'm just going to gain, you know, 100 pounds. And, you know, you might eat more than you need to initially for a little bit of time, but once you really get in touch with your body, you're not going to want to.
Okay.
You're going to want to do something different. And just, I know that that's, you've got to just trust me on this one, that will happen. But we're having some loudness. Hold on a second. I need to mute.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So just trust me, because this is a normal, natural fear that we feel that, well, then, so if I'm not dieting and if I'm not restricting, that means I can eat whatever I want, but I can't eat whatever I want because I'll get really heavy.
Right. Yeah.
And right, you will. I mean, it's kind of, that is the way it works. There's you know, in and out kind of quality to all of this. So just bear with me as we do this, and it will become more clear. But this fear that you have is normal, natural, real, and it makes all the sense in the world given what I'm telling you. And as the process goes on, what will happen is that fear will move into feeling more balanced and centered, and I don't know that control, it's more feeling more powerful because
okay.
you'll be able to monitor your body. So I get what you're saying, and you might come to where, you know, you said, I'm afraid I can't have a Coke every day. You might not want to have a Coke every day because
right.
you might decide it's not in my best interest. For lots
right.
of different reasons. Coke isn't necessarily, you know, it's not quality food. It might not taste as good later on as you're trying different things. Or you might decide, you know, I want half a Coke. I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like. But you're going to be able to regulate it better later on because you're going to start becoming, after today, what we're going to talk about, you're going to become more comfortable in your body, determining what your body really wants rather than this kind of fearfulness of this is what I like, this is what I used to have, this is what I've always done. You'll kind of be introduced to a new way. So just trust
okay.
me.
Okay.
And I am. I honor your feelings, and I really appreciate you saying them out loud, because what you're saying is what, you know, everybody else comes up with at a certain point in time in this process. So, cool. Thank you for putting that out. Does it feel like I got like we got enough for you to feel a little bit of the anxiety go?
Yeah. No, I've put faith in other things before, and they've worked. Yeah. And I'm going to have faith.
Okay, I love that.
Okay.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else have something come up with feelings this last week about the diet, giving up some diet, any resistance to that, or something you want to, you know, kind of put out on the table for all of us?
Well, I guess I should say something. This is Char.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think the most powerful thing for me, believe it or not, last week wasn't about, I have a very, believe it or not, restrictive diet that I happen to really like, so that doesn't pose a problem for me.
Uh-huh.
But the problem that I have is probably that I don't exercise enough. I don't get up and move. So when you just, the simple words that you said last week were move your body. And I don't know why, but that just struck me as the most profound thing ever. And it's not like I don't move, right? But it just made me think, like, just get really in touch with your physicality and your being, like, my body in space. And what
yeah.
I do, how I use it, what I'm lifting, what I'm carrying, how I move, if I'm standing up, am I stiff, why? I was sitting too long. How can I find ways to actually use my body? So for me, that was the most powerful thing that came out of last week's call.
Wow. That's really great. I love what you're talking about, because that's actually something we talk about a lot later in the process, is the idea of moving your body, because what can happen for us, and I'm saying this for other people because they might wonder why, you know, I don't get into a lot about exercise right at this point in time in our work together, is that it can end up scaring people because, you know, that whole connection between I go on a diet and I exercise, and once I stop the diet, I stop the exercise. And once we move into just our body is here as a physical thing to move, like, there's so much freedom that comes from that. And that's
yeah.
what you're talking about, is that freedom.
Yeah.
To just be present in your body and move it in the
yeah.
way it needs to be moved. Good job.
Thank you.
I'm glad that fit for you, because that's a more advanced concept that that we get into. And I'm glad that it's resonating for you right now. And for those of you listening that it doesn't resonate for, don't worry. It's not a primary thing you have to really think about right now. Like, it's, you know, let's focus on the food. If you feel so inclined to move your body, go do it. Go enjoy moving. And but what we're wanting to do is disconnect the idea of, in order to lose weight, in order to be on a diet, I have to exercise, because then we give exercise up when we're not on a diet, or when we're not thinking about losing weight, or when we have it.
So
that was my thing.
You're suggesting that they're two entirely separate things. They don't have anything
yep.
to do with each other. They're just health issues.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's absolutely, I mean, and what we know, and I tell you this, I was talking to a nutritionist yesterday, and every nutritionist I've talked to and every exercise person I've talked to says that it's 80% about the food and 20% about movement, about exercise. So, you know, if one of your ideas is you want to release weight, it's 80% about food and 20% about exercise. That was profound to me, that somebody, when my fitness coach told me that, like, I said, really, like, I'm paying you money to help me exercise, and you're telling me it's 80% food? What's up with that? That was really surprising to me that she would say that. And I tell you, ever since then, every fitness coach and every nutritionist I've talked to said exactly the same thing. So just move your body to have fun. And let's just disconnect it from having to be the reason that we do it to lose weight. Just do it because we have a body. So thanks for sharing that, Char. I really like that. Anybody else want to share about what came up from last week? Anything about diet? Any kind of insights that you had? Okay. What about anybody use any, you know, we talked a little last week about using wellness tools, and I'm hoping that we have enough time to get into that a little bit more today. Anybody use anything to make them feel good? So I'll tell you mine. My wellness tool this last weekend, I went to the movies by myself. And I used to love going to the movies by myself, and I haven't in years. And I was feeling a little TLC, and so I had a little extra time, and I went to the movies, and I loved it. I didn't necessarily love the movie, but I loved the process of being able to go to the movies. And one of the takeaway, you know, I hope you guys really kind of get that those wellness tools are really important. But what one of the best ways to come up with the wellness tools of things that you do that take care of yourself is, what did you used to do? And that's always my go-to. What did I used to do a long time ago that helped me feel really good about myself? And one of them was going to the movies by myself. So that's my my check-in about that. Anybody else do anything for wellness this last week that they want to share? No? Okay, no problem. We'll talk more about that as time goes on about why those are important. But let's get in to the information I got today, because this is really important and juicy and critical. So I'm going to keep you guys, you're not muted, so if it gets kind of loud, I'll mute you and I'll let you know. But you can, if you have any questions as we move along, feel free to ask them. But what we're moving in today is talking about food. And what I like talking about food kind of in the beginning of our work together, because it's not about the food, but it is about the food. And I think that my experience when I was really into binge eating and emotional eating was, a lot of it, what happened for me and what happens for others that I've worked with, is that we don't even know what hungry is, and we don't even know what full is, and we don't even know how to stop if we're full, and kind of that whole process of how does my body feel. This is one of the things that diets can do for us, is they can tell us when to eat and how much to eat. And so we then lose the kind of key idea that our body knows. There's this body wisdom that we have. And whenever I talk about this, I always talk about and think about children. And if you think about little kids, they know when to eat. They know how much to eat. And even if it's super-duper yummy, they will not eat anymore. Granted, they don't always eat, little ones don't necessarily eat always what you want them to eat, you know, veggies or whatever like that. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking more about, they know when they're hungry, and they know when they're full. So I just want you to consider that. And what I always find fascinating with little kids is that even if it's a sugary thing, my little one, when she was littler, she still does this, but she will eat whatever the sweet thing is, and she'll eat just a piece of it, and she'll leave it on the table and walk away from it and never think about it and never come back to it. And that always amazed me, because that was never what I could do. Since I can remember, is like, if there was a piece of sweet something around, I would notice it, and I would think about it, and I would never leave it just sit. That just wasn't in my mindset. So children have this capacity to do that, and that is naturally how our bodies are set up to do. And so what happened is over the years, as we've been emotionally eating, is that we've lost our true sense of hunger. And what happens is that we tend to eat when we're not hungry. We eat when we're too hungry. And we don't know what it feels like to be hungry. We often don't know what it feels like to be full in a way that's just satisfying. Or to know when we're too full. Or to know when to stop if we're full. so there's all these competing things that happen that any one of those I suspect are true for you. Don't know when you're hungry. Don't know when you're full. Or you know when you're full and you don't know how to stop. So what happens is part of what drives all of this is emotions. And we're going to talk about that in a different day, but I think always think the foundation of getting in touch with our bodies is the first starting spot to knowing true hunger. Because there are four types of hunger. There's physical hunger, which is what we're really talking about today. And that's where you know if you're hungry from internal cues. And what we're going to do this week is start looking at each of our own internal cues about when we're hungry. Because a lot of times we've lost track of when are we really physically hungry. And some of the things that can happen that when we know is our tummy grumbles, we get lightheaded, we have an internal sense of hunger, you might get headachy, your hands may shake, you might have low energy, you might be moody. Some of those things come up for us, and there might be others that you can identify, but those are often some of the big internal cues that we have to know that we're physically hungry. It's a physical sensation. But there are other kinds of hungers that happen for us too, and those are the hungers that can get us into a little bit of trouble. With overeating and eating things that aren't necessarily in our highest good. And the other kind of hunger after physical hunger is emotional hunger. And that's when we eat because of feelings. Lonely, bored, sad, stressed, angry. Some people eat happy. And it's a type of eating where you're not feeding the hunger, you're not feeling physical hunger, you're feeding an emotional hunger. And what happens is when we do that, we actually are not affecting the emotions that we're hungry to take care of because we're doing it with food. We're not taking care of the emotions in a way that take care of emotions. Food does not take care of emotions. What it does is it can take care of the emotions for a few short bit of time, like possibly generally while you're eating it, which can be, 5 to 10 minutes. And so you feel that good feeling, joyful feeling for 5 to 10 minutes. And then after that, you feel the guilt, the shame, the upset that you've emotionally ate, that you ate when you weren't hungry. And then on top of that, you have the feelings from before you ate, all the emotions that were going on, the lonely, bored, sad, angry, you have those emotions. So you like have this kind of double, triple whammy of lots of feelings coming up because you're eating for reasons other than hunger. So that's emotional eating. Mouth eating, mouth hunger is that thing when you say something tastes good or it sounds good or it's that kind of num, 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 wouldn't that taste good? It's kind of the best way I can describe it. And it's kind of like having an appetite for something that's maybe salty. I could use something salty. I could use something sweet. I could use something crunchy. I could use something smooth. Use something hot, sour. And that can be triggered often. That mouth hunger can be triggered by what's going on around in our environment, smelling bread or seeing candy or noticing a hot drink that looks really, that would taste good. And mouth hunger is not a bad thing. It's just moving from that into what does my body need? Am I really hungry physically? Or is it just that it sounds good? So I'm not saying that we don't eat ever when something sounds good. I'm saying start to notice when you're eating from mouth hunger and begin to check in about physical hunger. And what am I really hungry for? And am I really physically hungry versus mouth hunger? And beginning to make that distinction. The fourth kind of hunger is head hunger. And that's this kind of thing, mental, where you start thinking about it. What should I eat now? What should I eat today? What should I eat tonight? What should I eat later on today? I'm going to an event tonight. What am I going to eat then? And we begin to get into our heads about what we should eat. Often that head hunger comes in. It's the time of, it's lunchtime right now. And I should eat because it's lunchtime. That's your head telling you what's going on rather than checking back in with your body. So it's not saying that, I'm not saying that the head hunger is wrong, but if we're going to eat, let's look down and check into our bodies and see what's going on in there. Okay, so those are the four types of hunger that I think are really important to know. And so what I want to talk about really more in depth is the idea of am I hungry and am I full? I sent you guys in your email. If you have it, cool. If not, I'm going to describe it anyway. But I sent in the email this morning, I sent a am I hungry, am I full sheet, which this is exactly what I do with people when they come into my office. I draw this out for them. So you're getting exactly what I give to people. I draw it on my whiteboard every time somebody comes in and we talk about am I hungry, am I full. So what it looks like, if you don't have it up on your screen, it's a line. And so if you think about a line where you have a number scale from 1 to 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so if you think of it, 1 is extreme hunger, way too hungry, call it like in the red zone. And 10 is extremely full, where you're sick, it feels horrible, you can't get up, you want to lay down. And then 5 in the middle is satiated. Not hungry, not full, just satiated, I'm fine. And that's, you know, when I check in with myself right now, I'm feeling satiated. Not hungry, not full, I'm just fine right now. And what we move into is from satiated is we move down and we look at 4 is starting to be hungry and 3 is hungry. So what we do is when we check in with our body is if we're at a 4 or a 3, those are the times to start thinking about eating, 3 especially. And those are the times to start eating because we're not too hungry. And what we know is that if we move down to a 2, which is over-hungry, or a 1, which is extreme hunger, what we tend to do is have a rebound and eat too much and rebound up until the higher levels, the 8, 9, or 10 of being over-full and extremely full. Because when we're too hungry, we don't make good decisions. When we're too hungry, we eat too fast and can't listen to our bodies. And what we know is that physically, it takes about 20 minutes for our body to catch up to what we've eaten to tell us whether we're full. So if we're extremely hungry and eating too fast, we'll probably get to be over full. So getting yourself too hungry is not a good thing for us to begin to evaluate the signs of hunger and what to do in a way that really connects with physical hunger and taking care of our physical hunger. And so if we go back up to, so if you're thinking we did 1, 2, 3, and 4, 1 extreme hunger, 2 over hunger, 3 hungry, 4 starting hunger, 5 is satiated. So what we want to, so what we move into after satiated, if we're eating at a 3 or a 4, we move into full. And full is feeling just satisfied. Like I think that I would probably call it more of a satisfied, and 7 would be more of the full. And so you can see that we're not looking for huge swings of from hungry to full. And that means we have to reconsider how much are we eating and kind of really beginning to trust back to our body. Because once we get to an 8 is over full, feeling a 9 is too full, and a 10 is extremely full. And what I think what happens is that when we're gaining weight and when we're really feeling out of control with food, we're tending to go to the 8, 9, or 10 in terms of being full. And that's not going to get us where we want to go, to feel in touch with our body and using food as nourishment. So what I advocate with people is to begin to start being connected to how they're physically feeling. And that is, Alicia talked earlier about the being fearful. And this is what I'm talking about. It's like, it gets scary to start thinking about, I might have to restrict or I might have to do things. And what I want to pose to you is that this is not about restriction. This is solely about getting back in contact with our body and solely about figuring out where we physically are. And what happens is that we can get too regimented about when we're supposed to eat and not begin to notice our sensations, or we go by the time of day. So one of the ways to start doing this, and this is a process and it takes time, but it gets us back into our natural ability that we had back when we were children. We just lost our way. It gets us back into our natural ability to know what our body needs. And the starting spot is, am I hungry or am I full? So one of the ways that we can do this is begin to notice hunger. And this becomes a very, it can be kind of subtle. Because we live in such a quick-paced world with a lot of things going on around us, we can miss the subtle cues of, am I really hungry? And so that's what I'm going to invite you to start doing, is really start checking in. And part of the ways, I wrote down some ideas that I think of that I do that I think are helpful to begin to check in with our body. And part of it is, one of the biggest ways to get in touch with our body is just to take a deep breath. And have a deep breath and figure out where our body is. Am I hungry? What level of hunger am I? Am I feeling a 4? Am I feeling a 3? Am I feeling a 2 or a 1? Where am I in my hunger? And begin to get aware of that so that you can know when is it time to eat, because that's what our bodies were made to do. So I suggest deep breathing and asking yourself the question, am I hungry? How hungry am I? Closing your eyes is another good way to do it, to not have any distractions of kind of the world going on around us. Sometimes sitting down can be a good thing, kind of getting away from, like I said, from distractions. Another way that helps us is to turn off the television, turn off what's going on around us, and just kind of go inside, take a deep breath, and then just ask yourself, ask that inner wisdom, how hungry am I? And begin to put it on a scale. And then as you're eating, you know, the next important part is determining how full am I. Wow, I've been eating. I'm eating my food right now, and now I'm checking back in my tummy. How full am I? And there's, you know, a second part of figuring out where your fullness is. And that can be a little bit more difficult while we're eating, because it means we have to check back in to our bodies, to ourselves, as we're eating. And what my experience is that the more you do this, the more you begin to notice the subtle signs of when you're full. You know how much even to put on the plate. That's the great thing it's done for me, is that I know better even how much to put on the plate, so I'm not necessarily tempted to overeat because I don't have as much food on my plate. And then beginning to be in touch with, what are my signs of fullness? and then stopping at that fullness. And there's a lot of ways for us to do that that we might not be able to talk about today because we're just getting in touch with what, am I hungry, am I full? And some of the dilemmas that can come in with this, well, I know I'm full and I don't know what to do to stop. And that, you know, is a whole nother ball game on this. But I want you to know, does anybody have any questions about what I'm saying? Does it make sense, or do you have questions? Is there any concerns about this? So I bet it's all making sense. And, you know, this is the part where in our heads this makes sense. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand this idea, this concept. And then what happens is that there is a, there's kind of this line between knowing it intellectually and being able to do it in the real world. So how it begins to look in the real world is beginning to have beginning to check back in with your body, and that means taking those deep breaths. Sometimes it's good to also like put your hand on your belly and just notice, am I feeling hungry? And just ask yourself what that means. Like, ask yourself and trust that there is this inner knowing that knows what to do and knows when you're hungry. And that can be scary in the beginning because you haven't done this before. And it can be scary because I don't know what it'll say. And so just trust me that it can work. It works for everybody else that I've ever talked to. They get it over time. And what gets in the way sometimes is like being overly distracted when we're starting to eat and when we're eating. And one of the things I like, Janine Roth, she has a lot of great books and information about emotional eating and overeating and binge eating. And some of the things she suggests is to that the way we come back in contact with our body is to stop having distractions when we're eating. And distractions can look like television, writing, what else? Listening to the radio, being on the computer, driving. Ooh, that was my big thing. Driving and eating was my big thing in the past. But imagine that if you have these distractions going on, it's harder to get in touch with your body. It just is, because we're distracted. We're not paying attention to our bodies. So consider, as you're getting into figuring out your body and what's going on for you and what your hunger level is, to notice, am I being distracted while I'm eating? And, you know, I'll be honest, I am not always 100% not distracted. I sometimes will read when I eat, and I don't watch TV while I have meals. I don't do TV with meals. That for me is hard to watch TV and think about food and be really present with the food. I don't. I used to drive and eat meals. That was because I thought I was way too busy. And I stopped doing that, and that's helped a lot, too. And so for everybody, it's figuring out, are you being distracted while you're eating, and how can you come back into your body? And what happens is that I think about overeating and that it really is, if you kind of consider what that is that we've really stepped away when we overeat, we stepped away from really feeling our body and feeling what it feels like. And that is part of the problem. So this is a piece of the whole, I like to think of it like a puzzle, and this is a piece of the puzzle, is getting back in touch with your body. So what I want to encourage you all to do this week is to begin to notice hungry and full. And like I said, I sent you an email with the hungry full chart, and I will resend it later when I send out the audio of this. And actually, I think what I'll send out too is I have a food mood log, and it is a way to start noticing this next week what your level of hunger is, how you're feeling at that point in time, what you decided to eat, and how full did you get? It begins to help you get that range. And so I want to present that with also the idea that what people tell me often is that they don't do this fully, and they begin to feel guilty when they think, oh, I haven't done the assignment, and I didn't do the food mood log. But what we know is that if one of your goals is to release weight, writing down what you eat and writing down how hungry you are and how full you are is a way to track what's going on for you. And when I talk about writing down food, it's not about measurements at all. But what it will help you do is begin to notice, oh, isn't it interesting, at this time of day, I crave this, or I feel stressed. That's often what happens, is at this time of day I feel stressed, and this is the kind of food I go for. Isn't that interesting? This is our detective work. This is the detective time where we start figuring out, putting all the pieces together about what's going on for each of us, so then we can start analyzing it and making a plan to move out of it. My personal story that I like to tell is that I used to, at every 3 o'clock, every day at 3 o'clock, work days at 3 o'clock, I would go get a coffee and a sweet thing. It was the same sweet thing I would do every time. And I would then mess up the rest of my day because I wouldn't want to eat dinner until 8 o'clock because I was too full. It was too big of a snack, and it was obviously too very sweet snack. And what I began to realize as I noticed I was always doing this at 3 o'clock, it was always something sweet, I realized that if I really stepped back and looked at that behavior, and I noticed that I was feeling stressed, and what my thoughts were that I don't like my job. And so the way that I was handling my stress and the thought that I don't like my job is every day at 3 o'clock I would give myself a sweet treat. The problem was is that that wouldn't satisfy me. It didn't give me energy in the way I needed to have energy. And also it never dealt with, you know, if I go get this sweet treat every day at 3 o'clock, it never dealt with the initial feeling of stress and not liking my job. So once I realized I was doing that, I could then fix and go, oh, I'm feeling stressed at 3 o'clock. Oh, I'm thinking I don't like my job. Let me fix that. And then I'm not needing the sweet treat. And so now I notice if I ever feel a need for a sweet treat at 3 o'clock, I can have it if I want it. But I start to think about, well, Kim, you know that that is something you go to when you're feeling stressed. If you're at 3 o'clock, you go to stress. So I can ask myself, well, Kim, are you really hungry? Yes or no? How hungry are you? And then is this what I really want to have? And it can be a yes, and that would be fine, but it would be more of a kind of moderate portion now because I want to have dinner by 6 or 7 because that's what works best for me. When I do my food log, that's what works best for me, is having a small snack with protein is what I find. And eating dinner about 6 or 7 works really well for my body. And that's what this process does, is writing down helps you figure out which time of day food works for you and noticing how you're feeling. And also you'll notice which food in and of itself works for you. And then you'll notice what feelings are coming up. And I know that's a lot, but this is the process. And it's once you start doing it, it really works well, and it begins to give you kind of a framework and foundation for moving next, for the next part that we have about more looking at food in your body and more looking at emotions. Does anybody have any questions about this? Any of this doesn't make sense, or anything you kind of want to ask me about it while we're on the phone?
Kim, when you find, so when you start tracking,
mm-hmm.
when you get hungry,
mm-hmm.
I guess it eventually becomes routine, and then you know mm-hmm. when to expect to be hungry. So even
yeah.
if it may be noon for other people to eat lunch, it may be 10:30 for you, and so you
yes.
can just eat lunch then.
Right. You begin to, and yes, so what you begin to do is you begin to eat based on your hunger rather than what the clock says. And that is very valuable. So I know that my body has a particular rhythm. I just know it now. I know that I tend to eat, well, I eat right after I get out my workout, so I tend to eat about 8 or 9 in the morning. And I have a protein shake right after I get my workout done. And then I know about 10:30, 11, I have a snack. And then I know about 1, I eat lunch. Then I know about 3 or 4, I have a snack. Then I know about 6 or 7, I have dinner. It works pretty consistently. It's not that way every day. And so I have variations. If I have, like, you know, kind of a heavier meal, I might not want a snack because I've just had a heavier meal. But
right.
I tend to kind of have a particular rhythm that I can pretty much guarantee. It's just like, you know, for any of you that have kids, you do the exact same thing with your kids. We just lost our way. You know, with my daughter, when she was little, I knew that at a certain time she would want food and I'd have to have it with me because I knew that was how, you know, I began to know how her body would run. And so I would have to be prepared for her food. We're the exact same way. We just lost our way. And yes, so it begins to be listening to our body and not arguing with our body and going, "Whoa, I'm hungry. Isn't that interesting? How hungry am I? What do I need right now? What do I want? What will satisfy me and nourish me?" But yeah, and so it means not following the clock. It means really following our body.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any questions? So what I'm going to invite you guys to do this week as we wrap up is to really consider this, that as a part of the process for us to begin to monitor, check in with ourselves, evaluate what's going on. And it's really getting connected with your body in whatever way that works for you. For me, it's a lot of deep breathing, kind of centering myself and going inside of myself and asking myself, am I hungry? How hungry am I? And then we'll talk more next week about what to eat, kind of how to work through all of that. But for right now, it's just getting in touch with your body. So I encourage you to do that this week. It's super helpful. It really, over the long haul, it will serve you well. And I invite you to also write it down, and I'll send you a log. And it's just writing it down, not about being on a diet and not about being held accountable for the food, but it's about being that detective. Because if I wasn't that detective way back when, at that 3 o'clock time, I'd still be having coffee and a sweet treat every day and not feeling really good physically because that doesn't support my body in the way that my body needs to be fed. When I do it every once in a while, but I don't do it every day like I used to, and because it doesn't work for me. And you'll begin to notice patterns. You'll begin to also notice the emotions that lead you into eating, which is going to help us later on when we look more at emotions and that kind of emotional eating. And that is it for today. I am so glad you guys are all here. Please, if you need to email me, you know, you can respond to emails and email me if you have any questions or concerns or things that are coming up for you. I am available by email to kind of help you out, or at least it gives me ideas about what to talk more about on the call when I get emails and info from you guys. So I really appreciate you, and you're doing a great job, and we're in this together, and I look forward to talking to you next week, and have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.